When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the Soul Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. We just wrapped up round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. Fellas, it was a pretty wild 4 hours watching some of these quarterbacks go off the board. Bobo's guy goes at 32. What the hell just happened, I think, is the appropriate question to be asking ourselves here at the conclusion of round number one.
Awesome night. Mm-hmm. Awesome night. I forgot my jersey.
You did. You missed the memo.
Let's get that out the way.
I was going to say, Bobo and I got the memo, got the psychic memo to wear the jerseys.
Our teams all drafted IDPs.
The three edge rushers
that we've been talking about
nonstop since before the Super Bowl go to our three teams.
That's our year.
I think we deserved it. All the work we've been putting in, the football gods rewarded us.
We've done it.
Three edge rushers. Just a very weird thing to have happen.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
So, Bob, your 101 is Verse.
Sure.
Yours is Latu.
Correct.
Mine is Turner.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate after you and John Macri were going back and forth on the old Twitters about Dallas Turner.
That's right.
You were defending Dallas Turner's honor that he ends up a Minnesota Viking.
Yeah, it worked out very well. Looking forward to ripping John Macri a new one Saturday.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get him on the pod and you can air your grievances then.
Going to be a good time.
Good time for you, bad time for
sure.
Him. So, Bobo, your head was spinning with all the possibilities here, thinking about our upcoming rookie drafts. Mm. What are we going to do? Mm. There's still maybe the back half of the first round, and especially in one QB rookie drafts to figure out, I feel like. Mm. But some questions got answered tonight.
Yeah, this is the weird, you know, whatever you want to call this, right after the draft, where you start to think, you know, do we go with our process? Do we go with the guys that we think are the most talented? Or do we go with landing spot, you know? It's going to be weird in some of these 1QB leagues to see where people mix up Neighbors, Odunze, Brian Thomas, now Ricky Pearsall, now you got Xavier Leggett.
Xavier Worthy. Kansas City Chiefs.
Dear God.
When we get some running backs.
Brock Bowers.
Yep.
Maybe falls. So, man, fun night. Fun night for your Vikings. I think the Vikings probably...
I think they won the night.
They stole the show for sure. Yep.
Two trade-ups to go with J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. How you feeling?
Feel really good. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there was a chance that McCarthy was going to get drafted before Minnesota picked at 11. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was a good chance Minnesota would take Dallas Turner if that was to happen. So to be able to get both of those guys, huge, huge. You know, you lose Kirk Cousins, you get McCarthy, you lose Hunter, you get Dallas Turner.
And you get two guys that you bring in free agency that takes the pressure off Dallas Turner.
A lot cheaper than Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, McCarthy's set up and the best setup maybe of all the quarterbacks, you know, gets O'Connell,
dude.
gets JJ to JJ.
Finally get a little Addison, little JJ help.
TJ Hawkinson, once he recovers.
Yeah, once the knee's healthy.
So, I mean, just an unreal situation there for McCarthy. And then same with Dallas Turner. I mean, Dallas Turner will get a chance to
–
remember, guys, this guy is 21. He turned 21 in February. So he's probably going to take a little bit of time, to season and everything. But he's in a perfect situation. Van Ginkel's on a two-year, $20 million deal. You got Jonathan Gennard there. that he can grow with. But, yeah, I mean, I expect Dallas Turner probably to play like around 500, 600 snaps next season. But he'll be fully unleashed once he's a little more developed year two, I think. But, yeah I mean, this is a fantastic landing spot. Minnesota's got to be thrilled. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the Vikings from a you know, what they had to give up to get Turner was not a lot. A couple of fifths, I think.
On both those picks was just late picks.
Yeah, right.
I was surprised. I thought to get McCarthy, you were going to have to get in that, like, pick 5 to 6 range. But then when he kept falling, and all of a sudden Michael Penix comes off the board.
I know.
They had to feel like.
To Atlanta.
Yeah. I know,
of all places.
Sorry.
Atlanta had some serious needs. You know, they could have definitely used the Dallas Turner. Yeah. That's where all the mocks had them
and
going.
And if you want Penix, why not just trade back with a team like the Vikings?
Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. I think it was a bad night to be a Falcons fan.
Maybe Denver liked him as well. Maybe they were worried about that.
And they could have known that maybe, I mean, 6 quarterbacks in the top 12, so maybe they just knew that
Maybe they thought Minnesota liked him, you know.
Yeah.
If we get
outside the top 12, that guy's not going to be there.
Yeah.
But still, just trade back. Pick up a little bit of extra draft capital. The Vikes were originally at what, 11?
11.
Yeah. Get to 11. You can still get your guy there.
Yeah. So it worked out good. It worked out great.
Did you see the Sean Payton and Patrick Mahomes crap tonight?
Boy, that's kind of cringe. That was really. Did he like pay Schefter to make sure that tweet got out there right after the pick? I mean, somehow some of these insiders are bought and paid for by the coaches and GMs. It's just kind of obvious at times like this where it's like, what are we sitting this out here for, Shefty? Like, this just feels like a favor.
If Bo Nix doesn't work out, it's just going to, I don't know. It's almost kind of nice that Atlanta picked Michael Penix because then it's like, gosh, thank God.
Took the heat off of Bo Nix.
Now I've got
a little cover.
A little breathing room.
So, well, it was 14 picks of offense, 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, 14 picks of offense. And then my Colts are up at 15 with their pick of the litter on the defensive side, and it started a run of 9 defensive players selected in the first round. So what we're going to do tonight is just kind of whiz through those, give you all our thoughts, and of course we will be breaking down best and worst landing spots from all 7 rounds of the NFL draft Saturday night with John Macri, so look forward to that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
John might not want to come on anymore.
No.
Yeah, no, maybe the other way around.
Yeah, that's right.
You may just...
That Wi-Fi in Canada might be down for the weekend.
Yeah, true.
John, sorry, you're breaking up there, bud. Going to have to let you go.
Josh didn't feel
well. We'll take this one ourselves. But yes, Colts sit there with their pick of the litter. I thought it was going to be Quinyon Mitchell because I thought we had a bigger need on defense than edge rusher. But Chris Ballard likes Latu, edge rusher, UCLA, makes him the first defensive player off the board at 15th overall. I was thinking if not Quinyon Mitchell, then maybe Dallas Turner. He goes 2 picks later to the Vikings. So if this is who, the one thing that I will say, I think Ballard has not had the best track record when it comes to trades. For every DeForest Buckner, we've had Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan. That tends to happen whenever you're, you know, trading or signing free agent quarterbacks every offseason since Luck retired. And I don't think he is as active as he should be in free agency. But what Chris Ballard does really well is he has that eye for talent when it comes to the NFL draft. I think his NFL draft track record is pretty strong. So if he looked at this defensive class and said, Latu is the best pick and our biggest team need is defensive end edge rusher, then I trust that. Mm-hmm. So it would not have been my pick at 15. And I think you could probably make the case that he's 4th in the pecking order for like clearest, easiest path to snaps in year 1. But I mean, there's no doubting that when you look at, especially do they pick up the 5th-year option with Kwity Paye, that there is a chance that it is Samson Ebukam and Leatu Latu as soon as like next season. So I don't hate the landing spot. I do think there is a little bit of competition ahead of him, but still really solid landing spot for Latu.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I actually think that he's probably their best edge rusher now.
I think so too.
You know, so I mean, I imagine he's going to immediately come out the gate and give us like a, 600, 700 snap rookie season. I mean, he is ready to go. I mean, remember, this guy is 23, 23 point something. So he's one of the older prospects in this edge class. But a lot of that was because of the medical, you know, medical stuff that he dealt with.
Yeah, they talked about during the draft, he was planning to be a fireman before he unretired and came back to UCLA. So the medical stuff with it being a neck injury, funny enough, cleared by the same doctor as Peyton Manning.
I saw that.
So it's kind of just a weird connection there.
The parallels between him and Jalen Phillips are very eerie, you know.
Eerie.
Yeah, I mean, same situations. Both went to UCLA. Both were number 15. Both of them kind of look similar when you watch them.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I think he's awesome. I mean, he is. The PFF grades are amazing. All the PFF numbies are awesome. Pressure rate's ridiculous. Pass rush win rate's great. Yeah, I mean, he looks like a can't-miss prospect. I think that he's going to do really well there. Good situation. And I think it's him and DeForest Buckner as the two best edge rushers or best pass rushers immediately. So, yeah, it's a good spot. Do you wish they would have gone a different route as a Colts fan?
I wish they would have gone cornerback. I thought that was a bigger need than edge, but...
I know it is. I mean, they've invested a lot into the edge position lately. You know, they've gotten Kwity Paye, who was a first-round pick. That brought in Samson Ebukam last year. They had Odangbo.
They also had the...
he was a second or third-round pick, too, wasn't he?
I think second-round pick. So
they've invested a lot into the position.
They drafted a Ras Freak last year. I'll have to look up who that was. I remember we were pretty high on him.
The guy from Northwestern, the AA.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to look up who that was. But, they've spent a lot on edge. And, of course, you've got a really stout interior now. You bring back Grover Stewart. You have DeForest Buckner there as well that just re-upped. So it would not have been my first choice for position of need. I would have liked to have seen Quinyon Mitchell, then probably Brian Thomas Jr., and then probably Edge. But again, I'm not mad about us going with a guy who was probably the biggest riser throughout this entire process, from maybe Edge 3 in the class to the number one overall defensive player. Quite the rise for Leiatu Latu throughout this process, Bobbo.
Yeah, I hope that the draft pick here, I hope that the capital shows that people are okay with the medicals. You know, the medicals are actually not as big of a deal as you know, maybe it once was. Thinking about Latu, automatically where my mind goes to is dynasty. You want Latu or you want George Karloftis?
Probably Latu. And here's why I say that. I was talking through the pick with Dad and Connor because they were both kind of the same mind of like, would have liked to have seen cornerback or maybe wide receiver. And I was like, well, Latu's pretty good, right? According to, this was a tweet that came out from John, his edge prospect model scores. Latu was the number one in the class, and Latu was the fifth overall of the recent draft classes, behind only Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Myles Garrett, and Aiden Hutchinson, ahead of Will Anderson, Joey Bosa, Josh Allen, Leonard Floyd, Kayvon Thibodeau, Montez Sweat, all those guys.
Yeah, he's metric-wise, he's sick, no doubt about it. And then you watch him. I mean, he looks like a grown-ass man. He looks like a man amongst boys.
He looks like a dude.
Yeah, but he is.
He is a dude.
He's a grown man. It makes a big difference in college. I'm not trying to throw shade on him. I'm just trying to recognize...
He's 23.
He's 23.
Yeah, he's older than some of these guys.
He's going against probably a lot of 19, 20-year-olds. You know, it's the way it is. But he is awesome. That does give me a little bit of concern, though, you know, the fact that he is a little bit older. You talk about who do you want him versus George Karloftis. George Karloftis is younger.
Really?
He's 23.1.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and this will be his third year in the league. So, I mean, I think you got to think about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice to have guys that have been in the league and actually gotten reps against NFL offensive lines. Real quickly, it was Adetamua Anabaware that was the double A. They've got him listed as defensive tackle, so I don't know if that's actually any edge competition for Latu.
I probably would go Latu, though, as far as him versus Karloftis, because I think Latu has, like, the higher ceiling, right? He can probably he can probably give us, like, 15
right
sacks
now,
in a season, potentially.
Right now, it's Karloftis. If you want for 2024, I think Karloftis. If you're looking for dynasty long-term outlook, I think Latu has the higher ceiling.
I'm just thinking, like, the guys that he's around as far as dynasty value right now. You got to think like Karloftis. You know, he's probably not quite yet to the Kayvon Thibodeau type range. You want him or Montez Sweat?
Yeah, it's a good one. I'll probably roll the dice on Latu.
Yeah, I think so too.
What about Alex Highsmith?
I'd probably go Latu.
Jalen Phillips.
Boy, we're coming off the Achilles. If there was no Achilles, it's not even a question.
I'm gonna go Latu.
That's hard. That's hard because I want to see. I don't know what Lot. I don't know what Phillips is.
Your heart
look
wants
like.
To say Phillips. Your head wants to say Latu.
Harold Landry.
Latu.
Jonathan Grenard.
Latu.
Mm-hmm.
Just Rashawn because
Gary.
That's a good one because Gary was, you know, under the radar.
Gary is
how old
also
is Gary? 26.4. I'm gonna go yep. Rashawn Gary on that one.
That's close, but. Probably still Latu. I just think you have a 23-year-old
Colts fan
that has yeah, a chance to be a top. I mean,
I don't think he said
eight
Latu.
Edge rusher.
I think he said Latu the whole time.
He did.
I mean, that's where I would probably right. have him
so
right here's now in Dynasty.
No, it's true. It's he's up there.
I do think this spells the end of Quiddy Pay.
So
I really do. Oh, I think this is the end of Quiddy Pay and Indy.
We don't know quite yet everything as far as the end of the first and
Quiddy broke.
Yeah.
You know, give it some time to kind of simmer, or are you just, good? Move good. On. Okay,
let that one sit there.
So we don't know the end of the first yet, as far as one quarterback. We don't know second round, but let's just say you're hot on Latu, even some of these other guys. Where do you think it's going to be a comfortable spot to grab Latu in your rookie drafts?
He's probably still
one QB, right?
One QB. Are you getting any higher than like 206?
No, I think he's back of the second.
Because also it's like
for any of them,
do you like? Well, I mean, do you have to now?
Good point.
It's like I think we made that point in one of those mocks. It's like I would. Has anything really clarified
all
for
the,
you?
All the guys
after this,
all the guys got pretty good landing spots.
Yeah,
I mean they went between 115 and 120, right?
Yeah,
15th and 20th pick.
So some sick landing spots.
Colts perfect landing spots.
Needed one.
All of
Bikes,
them needed them.
Needed one.
As Rams. Much as I
even Miami with Chop Robinson.
Honestly, you can say the Rams. Landing spot maybe presents the most opportunity.
Yeah, I think so.
I think him and Chop, we'll get to it. But, yeah, I think, I mean, as much as I love Latu as a Colts fan and have the Homer glasses on, my first pick in IDP in a rookie draft would be Dallas Turner. Mm-hmm. Just because he was my 101 going in, and nothing has changed. These landing spots are all pretty good. They all got first-round draft capital.
Same.
So, unless they just landed in a crappy spot with, like, a ton of guys ahead of them, this was probably not going to change the order much for me. Maybe guys move up a little bit. Maybe Chop gets bumped a little bit because, I mean, we'll talk about it. He could have the clearest path to snaps in year one. But let's show some love to the interior defensive line because right after the Colts pick at 15, Byron Murphy goes off the board at 16 overall to the Seattle Seahawks. I think this is a great pick for the Seahawks for NFL purposes. For IDP, though, Addy, not a huge fan of this one. A lot of competition there.
Right now, right, yeah. But, I mean, it's Jermont Jones, Jerron Reed. That's really his competition in the interior. And I'd say Jermont Jones will be.
You don't think Leonard Williams is competition there
I
as well?
About him. Yes, of course.
Re-upped,
he
big
is.
Money.
He is, but Leonard Williams is going to be there, and yeah, whatever, that's fine. Yeah. But Jermont Jones, probably getting cut, I'd say, after this year. They gave him a huge deal. I'd say that they can get out of that after this offseason. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Byron Murphy, Leonard Williams. Also, Leonard Williams is getting up there in age. He's, 29, 30 now. So Byron Murphy, it's going to be his show, I'd say, within the next 3-4 years. But
you got to be patient.
He's an elite athlete, man. 9.21 RAS, 6 foot, 297, 4.87, 40.
At 300 pounds.
At 300 pounds. Yeah, 9.21 ARAS. He was a 4-star recruit, and then somewhat productive at Texas. Not that productive, but he had good advanced metrics, good pressure rate, good pass rush win rate.
And let's not miss the fact he was the second defensive player off the board.
Yeah, right.
I felt very confident he would be a first round pick. Did not think he would go before Dallas Turner. Some of the cornerbacks. I mean,
I thought he was being slept on a little bit, honestly. I thought, like, maybe there was a chance Atlanta could have taken him at 8.
Like, there was some buzz. He was, like, the first defensive player off the board bet, Byron Murphy was a sneaky good value, and you almost got
him. Almost, yeah, sure.
I didn't think there was any way the Colts were going offense at 15, and I didn't think there was any way they were going Byron Murphy there. So that kind of killed the buzz for him as the first defensive player, but it was close.
Yeah.
It was close to happening.
I like this fit, though. I mean, honestly, I'm not afraid of it. I mean, you got to love the new head coach in there, defensive-minded.
I think you have to be patient.
He's got really good experience with, I mean, we just saw what happened with Justin Madubuike, you know. So, I mean.
Is this his Justin Madubuike now?
Could be.
Yeah, I mean. Then you
probably
got,
not as explosive, but, yeah, man, Space Eater. Just he's got some pretty sick stuff on tape.
There you go. Papa, what do you think?
He'll be a good player there.
What do you think of this landing spot?
It's okay.
It probably drops him in rookie drafts at least, right? Because you're looking at not going to be probably an impact guy in year one. And there could have been some spots where he was one impact guy.
I don't think that the guys there are anybody crazy. I mean, we do like Leonard Williams, but Adam's right. I mean, Draymond Jones could be cut.
He wasn't that good last year anyway.
I agree. Byron Murphy's kind of weird because everything instinctually and everything on tape looks like he should have put up more sacks at Texas than he did. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, how he moves everybody around and how, you know, the interior pressure is just elite. And maybe that changes in the NFL, but I just don't know that Byron Murphy is going to be a high sack type of guy. You know, do y'all get that vibe from him at all? I mean, he seems like he's going to be really helpful in the run game. He seems like he's going to get some pressure from the interior.
No, I mean, I hear you. I mean, only 8 sacks, 15 TFLs across 34 games at Texas.
Yeah.
But, right, I mean, the pressure rate was good. Pass rush win rate is good. I get all that stuff, and a lot of people like to throw it at you, but it's like I still do want to see these guys produce.
100%.
I want to see what type of year they can put up potentially.
Yeah.
To know what I'm kind of investing in, you know.
So are you going to draft a guy like Byron Murphy – in the XFL to just let him sit on your bench to see if it works out? He does have first round draft capital, so he's going to play, but is he going to be worth the gamble? Is he going to be worth the risk?
Is he this year's Jalen Carter?
No.
Landed in an ambiguous situation.
No, I think Jalen Carter was drafted, a much better player.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle.
I liked the way Jalen Carter moved much better.
100%.
Now, I think what this does open up potentially is Johnny Newton being the value here, right?
Yeah.
Maybe people overdraft Byron Murphy just based off the draft capital, right? Mm-hmm. And now you'll be able to potentially get Johnny Newton in the 5th round, potentially. Yeah.
Second,
right?
Defensive player off the board.
Yeah,
you know?
Undrafted, potentially, and they're on waivers. I wanted to look, yeah, Draymond Jones, Leonard Williams, Jerron Reed, Jonathan Hankins came over in free agency as well.
That sucks for Jerron Reed. And Draymond Jones in the best balls, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Other than that, I mean.
I mean, for what it's worth, which is not much, our lads already has Byron Murphy as the starter at nose tackle.
No, I think he'll get a healthy amount of snaps. But also, I mean, the surrounding situation is really, really good there. That's a ridiculous defense now.
Yeah.
You know, with the secondary, we know all about it. We know about Witherspoon, Reek Wallen.
I think they still address linebacker. At probably second and third round.
Yeah, definitely. They could use a linebacker. But, I mean, Edge, they're sick. You got your Chinna Nwosu coming back.
Mafe.
Greatly missed him. Mafe, Derek Hall. What can he look like in his second year? So, I mean, that team is set up.
Even Jerome Baker has some pass rush upside to his game as well.
Yep.
Could be helpful, you know, to have some interior presence with Byron Murphy.
Those linebackers will be fine there. They're not going to be asked to do a ton. That's a good front, good secondary.
They don't need an elite linebacker to be efficient there. They can still do what they need to with those guys.
Yep.
Oh, I think, they're obviously not going to invest a high pick. They went Byron Murphy, but I think
they could get
second, third round.
Yeah, I wonder where they're,
because you got to remember Mike McDonald coming from Baltimore, having two of the best linebackers in the league.
I do know they brought in Peyton Wilson for the whole
type
visit or whatever.
Second, third, you know, second or third round. So the Seahawks,
I don't think they have a second. It doesn't look like.
That's right. They traded it for Leonard Williams. So
wow,
that's right. Yeah, and makes me wonder. Then third round, they're sitting at. Let's see where they are in the third round. They have, do they not have a third round pick either? Okay, well, never mind. Wow. No, they're at 17. They're at 17 in the third round, 81 overall. So I could see that being a potential Edgerrin Cooper, Peyton Wilson kind of landing spot.
I'm with Eddie. I like the Byron Murphy pick for the Seahawks. That's fine, but I think it could just be a nice little window to pay attention to Johnny Newton later in your draft.
Probably the second best IDP available after Cooper DeJean still on the board?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Because I'm not so sure that I don't like Johnny Newton better than Byron Murphy, just straight up.
From, like, a ability IDP, to put up stats.
Absolutely.
Yes, right? Yep. Yeah, exactly.
From an IDP perspective, for sure.
Well, and I've also kind of – I think I may just – avoid linebacker.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And maybe going forward, just because it is like we've talked about this a lot lately, but it is like there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to try and figure out which one of, you know what I mean? It's just, it's just too hard. And they bust so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to probably stick to the edge rushers, especially in this class.
Yeah.
Edge rushers, defensive tackles, cornerbacks, and safeties.
We'll see what the safety, no safeties went first round. Yeah. No linebackers went first round. It was just one interior defensive lineman.
Same with safeties. I'll probably just punt safety, truly. I'll probably just get whichever ones, you know, are available on waivers, which there'll be a lot of good ones, I bet.
Yeah, you got five edge rushers, one IDL, and it looks like three cornerbacks. So, Eddie, I'll give you the solo cam for this next one because via trade, Vikings select Dallas Turner. They trade back up after trading up to get J.J. McCarthy. They trade back up again and select your edge one, Dallas Turner. At 17, how are you feeling about the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings?
Man, I feel so good. I feel so good. I love this guy. This was my IDP 101. I think he's got the most upside in the class. I've already touched on he is one of the youngest players in the class, 21.2 years of age, turned 21 in February. Athletic freak, 6'2", 247. That was at the combine. He put on another 10 in his pro day. But 34.4-inch arms, 83-inch wingspan, 4.46, 40, 40.5-inch vert, 10.7 on the broad, 8.86 RAS score. Was a three-year junior, five-star recruit out of high school. And speaking of high school stuff, really cool background. Played with Pat Surtain and I think C.J. Henderson in high school. They were coached by Pat Surtain's dad. His senior year, he transferred schools and was coached by Jason Taylor. And Jason Taylor, you know,
you mean the Hall of Famer?
Yeah, seventh on the all-time sacks list.
100-plus sacks, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think like 139. So he has that background in high school, goes to Alabama. Also, he was a basketball player. I love that. Yeah. I love that his dad was a professional basketball player.
The background's about as good as you can possibly get.
And also, think about basketball.
Hoopers are always good at everything.
It's a one-on-one sport.
Yep.
You know, it's a lot of explosiveness, quickness, changing up speeds, jab stepping, spinning. Like it translates very well to the edge rusher position. So the background's great. You know, that's all high school. Goes to freaking Alabama. You get Nick Saban, one of the greatest coaches of all time. I also thought he killed it on the broadcast line. I don't know if you guys got to hear him.
He was good.
Dropping tons of just great nugs.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Belichick both, I thought, had a nice little glow up.
Yeah, so, you just can't ask for much more. You know, the combine, great. Background, great. Early production there at Alabama when he was an 18-year-old. Put up 8.5 sacks out the gate as an 18-year-old at Alabama. So, and I know that the PFF stuff wasn't as good as some of these other guys, Verse and Latu. I think his career pressure rate was 15.3%. Or if you look at like Verse and Latu, like they're like in the 18 to 20 range. But again, those guys are older prospects. Turner did it at 18, 19 years old. It just means a lot more. And if you look at his last year when Turner was a junior, the numbers were ridiculous. It was an 18.8% pressure rate. It was a 19% pass rush win rate. So not concerned at all. Like as he got better and better every single year, I think he's got a lot of room for development. I think he's going to put on weight. I think he's got the type of potential to be like a Will Anderson type asset. I really do. I think he's been slept on. We'll talk about that with Sig, but love this dude. And he's a Viking, man. It's just the best.
And we have to ask the question though, Addy, how does this make you feel about Andrew Van Ginkle, your long-haired man crush from this offseason?
Still good. Still fine. He'll find a way to get 600, 700 snaps.
He's kind of back in the Dolphins situation where he's got two clearly superior guys ahead of him in Grenard and now Dallas Turner.
And you know, Grenard,
he's the third banana.
Grenard has health issues at times, so that could happen, you know. I think it's going to be a fun rotation. I don't think that – I mean, they gave Van Ginkle a nice little deal, 2 years, $20 million. But,
I think if everyone stays healthy, Dallas Turner, is he third in the pecking order?
I think so. Next year.
Yeah.
Again, we've talked a lot. 21 years of age. Yep. He's going to take a little bit of time. He's going to take a little bit of time to develop and stuff, acclimate to the NFL level. But I have no doubt that he's going to. I mean, this guy has, again, five-star recruit out of high school. Like, what's really changed? Like, what are people afraid of?
A lot. A lot, I would say. I just had a dark moment there. Had to come back to reality. But, yeah.
Not life, just, I mean, about
him. Yeah, just a life. Okay, yeah. It's not the What's Scary About Life podcast. Terrifying. Yeah. Baba, what'd you think about Dallas Turner landing in Minnesota?
Oh, it's perfect. I don't know that you could script it any better for Dallas Turner.
For Addy, for the show, it's for the Vikings.
It's a win.
It's a win, triple win. And everyone goes home happy.
I'm with Addy. I've been getting that vibe for a couple weeks now, too, of just like, are we sure that Will Anderson and, you know, Dallas Turner are not a whole lot closer together than they are farther apart? I'm beginning to kind of have that feeling as well. So, yeah, I love that. I love the rotation up there. I love everything that Minnesota has done tonight for not only our Jefferson and Addison shares, but also for the defensive side as well. And for Ivan Pace. You know, Ivan Pace, he really needs a good defensive line to play in front of him. You know, for him to be that elite LB1 that we're all hoping for him to be one day in our dreams, this is what we needed to have happen.
So we'll keep the solo cam on you, Babbo, because the Rams at 19 don't go offense, yeah, which Peter Schrager thought was a lock to happen. Mm-hmm. They go with Jared Verse, the third edge off the board behind Latu and Turner. How are you feeling about Mr. Verse there at 19 for your Rammies?
The first pick for the Los Angeles Rams since 2016.
And they go with another Jared,
which was made by Jeff Fisher.
Wow.
I didn't realize, I forgot about that, that, well, I guess
he played
I
one
knew
year
that.
For Fisher, right?
1 year for Fisher, and then
straight, it was McVay after that.
I wonder how many years he played for McVay before they traded him.
Maybe two or three.
Yeah. Anyways, Jared Verse there, pick 19. I think there was in a lot of mocks. You know, there's a lot of the Brugler and the Lance Zierlein. I think maybe even DJ had Verse mock to the Rams there. You know, with the Aaron Donald retirement, it kind of changed a little bit. Some of the mocks were starting to show like Byron Murphy, Johnny Newton, possibly, you know, moving to LA. But no, I love Jared Verse. You know, the more I think about Jared Verse and the more I've looked at some of his, college metrics at Florida State there, 29.5 TFLs, basically in two seasons, 18 tackles over those 2 years. He also had 89 total tackles. Man, the production was really good for Jared Verse. I don't think Jared Verse has the quickest first step of the edges in this class. I think that's probably for, honestly, Dallas Turner. I think Dallas Turner is a little bit more athletic, but I think Jared Verse is stronger. I think he just kind of manhandles people and can throw them out of his way at times, and he sticks with plays. You know, I listened to y'all's podcast last weekend with Sig, and Sig was kind of relating Jared Verse to like an Aiden Hutchinson, who just kind of wins with power and kind of with sheer will. And, you know, a team that just lost Aaron Donald and really need some help there with that defensive line. You know, there's a gaping hole there now at D tackle. I think Jared Verse is gonna help Byron Murphy and Kobe Turner also. That's another situation that I do a lot of times when you go to these drafts and you look and see like who else is this gonna help? You know, well, you know, obviously Byron Murphy, in my opinion, is gonna help Uchenna and
Byron Young.
Boye Mafe. Yes. Byron Young now is going to massively be helped. I mean, Byron Young now goes to being the defensive line two on the team.
I'd
you
say
know?
So. Yeah.
I mean,
Michael.
Yeah, you got Michael there. Hoyt there, but
kind of hurts for him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's a little best ball hit, but I love it. I love it. I think we were talking about this a little bit before we turned the microphone on. That from an opportunity perspective, do you see Verse playing the most amount of snaps of the three his rookie season?
The three, yes. The four, if you want to go out to Chop Robinson, I think Chop could end up with the most snaps, depending on your outlook for Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, honestly, I think Verse is about to play. I mean, Byron Young just played 800 snaps, yeah, I think. Right. I mean, yeah. He played like 80%, a ton of snaps for a rookie, especially a third-round rookie. So, yeah, I mean, what Jared Verse is about to get all that.
Top 20 pick, Jared Verse, and a very interesting comp because this player actually played for the Rams from the Beast. Dante Fowler is Dane Brugler's comparison. So, he said NFL quality hand use, physical traits, competitive football temperament give him a high floor as an NFL starter.
Yeah.
So I would expect, depending on if Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, one or both of them start the season, that knocks Chop down for me. But if And in that case, I would say Jared Verse would be the walk-away winner for most snaps as a rookie.
Mm. Yeah.
Because like you said, it was Byron Young getting as many snaps as he could possibly handle as a third-round pick.
Yeah.
So I think the team knew they needed to upgrade that position. They kind of punched above their weight last year with that draft class and needed to bring in some reinforcements.
Josh, you want Jared Verse or Daniil Hunter in Dynasty?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm in Adams' ranks.
Boy, oh boy.
I've already got some of these guys in there. I'll have to do some more updating tonight, of course.
Probably Daniil Hunter.
Wow.
But it's close. I know the age, but like, I think Hunter could be good for a long time. Especially alongside a guy like Will Anderson playing for a coach like D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, I do worry a little bit about Verse because, I mean, we do, like, he does rely so much on that power. You wonder if he's going to be able to do that at the next level, right?
Especially if he's playing 800 snaps a season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good for him. Volume's great for
him. Oh, I agree.
But I just wonder if he is, again, he's 23 and a half.
Yeah.
Like, so he was going up against some little boys. Mm-hmm. You know?
I love just picturing it's like the mascot games. The little kids are out there just getting bodied by these mascots.
But he did put up 31 on the bench, Jared Verse.
Yeah.
Which is, looks like 97th percentile.
Let's go.
So he's got some good functional strength. And getting in an NFL weight room, you think that should only get better.
Yep.
But yeah, it's for me, I have a hard time placing any of these rookies above guys that I consider to be in that elite tier of edge rusher, which is where I have Daniil Hunter. Okay. And I may be higher on him than consensus.
Okay, so Jared Verse or Bryce Huff?
Jared Verse.
Probably Verse.
Jared Verse or Jermaine Johnson.
Oh, that's really close.
And the Jared Verse versus Bryce Huff question, I mean, I feel like that's like one where the market would be higher on Jared Verse.
Even 100%.
You know, like I think Hipsters would like Bryce Huff and stuff. Yeah, for the most part, he's a hard sell.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's not a lot of people that are super amped up about Bryce Huff.
Well, I mean, in the draft capital, it's gonna make him high.
Exactly. Bryce Huff was undrafted.
Absolutely.
Jared Verse just saw him on TV.
Yeah. You know, but we did just see, you know, Tyree Wilson on TV last year, and we didn't really see a whole lot of him last year.
Jermaine Johnson's a good one. That one's pretty close. I could flip a coin on that one.
Jermaine Johnson or Jared Verse? Jermaine Johnson's younger, I think.
And is...
Yeah, he's 25.3.
No, he's not.
He's an
older prospect, too. That's right.
All right, so this one was one... I feel like you kind of don't like this guy. So, Jared Verse or Montez Sweat?
No, I like Montez just fine.
I don't think you do.
Probably Montez by a little bit.
Wow. I would have bet you would have gone Verse.
He's a step down. I have like probably like six or seven guys in that like top tier of edge rusher for me, and Montez would be one step down.
I'll go back and forth on those two all offseason, I'm sure.
It's close.
I just kind of want to find the...
Would you have rather Chicago taken... Do you think Chicago should have taken an edge rusher?
Yes.
One of those elite edge rushers or gone Rome?
I think an edge rusher.
I think offense. If I have a choice, I'm always going to go offense.
I don't know.
But if they could
have had any other edge rushers, they
would. Dallas Turner, and then in the second round, they could have grabbed a guy like...
Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah. But in the second round now, you're going to be going with Romo Dunze at 9, and now in the second round, if you want an edge guy, you're going to get like...
Braswell, Trice.
Mo Kamara.
But you've already got an edge Neyland. One, and now I think you have a wide receiver one.
But you have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
Yeah, I get it. I just
Cole
think...
Cole Kmet.
I think if
Jones. DeAndre
Swift. I think if Rome hits...
Velus Jones.
What was that last one?
Velus Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Was he the really old one?
Speaking of age, yeah.
Yeah. I just think if Rome... From everything I've heard about Rome, if he hits his ceiling, that's a like... true alpha level wide receiver one.
Right, but I
Whereas
mean
if,
but
I see
if, but if one of those edge rushers hits their ceilings, right?
I'm just saying if both things are true, if both guys hit their full potential, I'd still rather have the offensive playmaker over the defensive playmaker.
You're going to have to outscore people because that defense ain't scoring. Ain't
well, especially attached
nobody.
To Caleb Williams. Like, I want to give Caleb Williams as many weapons as I possibly can.
Does he need it, though? If he's good, he should transcend talent.
Yeah. Just give. Yeah. That's what I kind of wish the Colts had done at 15 with, you know, now Brian Thomas Jr. gets over to yet another division rival. And all they've done is just, you know, every team in the AFC South has really amped up the offense this offseason. So I kind of, because it's like, I think Pittman's a nice 1B option. You know, I would have loved to have a true, like, alpha difference-making receiver come in there.
Yeah, same thing. Did you say you would have rather had the receiver? Or
I think cornerback would have been my choice if I was the GM in that seat right there. You know, gone Quinyon Mitchell. I probably would have traded back, honestly. Yeah. Let somebody come up and take Mitchell or Dallas Turner or Brian Thomas Jr. a little bit later. But, you know, offense would have been sweet too. It's hard to have your pick of the litter on defense, though, and not go defense.
Yeah.
Especially when your defense is okay. Pretty solid, but could be better.
I feel like you guys were going Brock Bowers, though.
I know. That was every mock I saw in the lead-up to Thursday.
I feel like that was such a tilt pick.
That's
like,
such
that's
a Ballard pick to go Bowers.
But then, like, that's like, oh, damn it. Let's just go Edge, I guess. Yeah. Like, oh, damn it. It's like a panic pick almost.
I know. Seriously. I like, really,
Ballard, we do have a solid stable, right, Ballard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
They're calling there was Las Vegas tonight.
The only, and that's why I say, and that's why I say,
we'll give you Anthony Richardson for him.
The only, that's why I say cornerback, because that's really the only screaming need on the team is like our cornerbacks are not that great. Like I like Juju Brent's fine and Kenny Moore obviously, but like opposite those two guys, it is just a big old question mark.
Dallas Flowers.
So yeah, I mean, pretty much he is a starter, I think, at this point. So
turn yards,
love that.
Not great from an NFL perspective.
Best ball, we're doing great.
When you've got the, you know, Titans bringing in Calvin Ridley and now Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis.
You scared of Calvin Ridley, Josh?
I mean, it's better than what the Titans
Calvin
had.
Calvin Ridley and
DeAndre
Will Levis.
Hopkins as your wide receiver one.
I traded Will Levis yesterday in Superflex. I shot that guy into space.
What'd you get him?
I got the 202. I got Travis Kelce, and I got Keenan Allen.
For Levis?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a Superflex league?
I think I gave up some late picks or something.
You
too.
Got any openings?
Can we get in this league?
Is this blunted? Is this the league where everyone's high?
No. That's my. You can't talk about that one. That's the money league.
That's the secret dummy league.
I already had Stafford and Kyler, so Levis was just free money.
I got you. Yeah.
Free money.
All right, well, let's go to the next IDP off the board, the Dolphins, with both Bradley Chubb.
You solo cam it, because you seem to be the most in on this one.
I mean.
Talk about it. It's your guy over
run
there.
That trap years. Yeah.
You got two guys coming off, like, devastating injuries in Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, and then Shaq Barrett off the scrap heap to start.
He's going to be just fine.
I hope so. He's on the freaking wall, but you're coming off a, you know, Thanksgiving Achilles injury. It's not a great outlook.
Yeah. I saw in his Instagram post, he said he's going to be back and better than ever.
Yeah,
I believe him.
I hope so. I do hope so. But, you know, I think this is definitely a hint towards, like, Jalen and Bradley Chubb insurance, where it's like, we don't know if these guys are going to be healthy, so let's grab the fourth edge off the board here in Chop Robinson. So, I mean, I'm just kind of whatever on Chop, but lands in a nice situation, especially if those two guys aren't healthy.
Chubb's getting cut next offseason.
It's a lot of money. Have you checked the dead money
for
Chubb?
I'm pretty sure they can get out of
that. I'll double check the contract.
I mean, because
they're going into second or third year of it.
I feel like they got an out coming out here pretty soon. I think I like it. I think Phillips is going to be fine, and maybe not this year, but I mean, long term, you know, looking at 2025. Yeah, I imagine it's going to be Chop and Jalen Phillips, and that's a pretty sick little duo right there. Phillips can kind of return to form.
Sealer,
right.
Yes, yeah, so they have a potential out in 2025. The cap hit is $29 million for the next three seasons for Bradley Chubb. The dead cap is only $27 million, so they're just saving $2 million next year if they cut Bradley Chubb. So it could be 2026. When it would be an $11 million cap savings. Gosh.
That's tough. That's a tough situation to be in.
So do you just cut him to save $2 million? I mean, he'll be 30 at that point. No, he'll be 29 at that point.
Aren't they tough Probably on not. Cap?
Yeah, the Dolphins are always up against the cap.
Couldn't you also see Chop maybe playing, like, I guess he's going to play this year.
Yeah, he's going to play this year.
He's a youngin' too, though. He's one of the youngest guys.
Even if Jalen gets back, I mean, Bradley Chubb tore his ACL. It was ACL for Chubb, right? And Achilles for Jalen. He tore his ACL like week 17.
Wasn't it a lot for Chubb? Like, wasn't it pretty, like, I think it was like a lot of stuff.
It was just so late in the season, and he's an older player that I think even if you get Jalen back, I don't think you're getting both these guys back.
No.
And what does Jalen look like if he comes back? Bradley
Chubb tore it like week 17, right?
Yeah, it was late.
Pretty much the end of the season.
Yeah.
It was almost like this year.
That was tough, man. He had a great year, too. Mm-hmm. Hate to see it.
Yeah, so Chop was, I know.
Chop and Barrett, 2024.
I know, right?
Yeah, after, that's right. Barrett's there. Mm-hmm.
So
mention him.
Yeah, he's a.
That's crazy.
We knew he was a winner. I mean, I think Maybe if Jalen gets back, is it Barrett and Phillips and Chops kind of the third banana?
I think so. I think Chops in a similar situation with Dallas. I think that those teams are going to be patient with both those guys. We'll see them, you know, flash a little bit year one, but you're going to have to be a little patient. If you can't be patient on either one of these guys, Dallas and Chop, don't draft them, right?
Because, yeah, you're probably going to have to wait.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's a window for you to get back in on them in year two if someone gets a little skittish, but, like, yeah, if you sell these guys after year one, you're
fish. Yeah, I'm not anticipating any of these guys that got drafted tonight to be...
I feel like Verse and Latu could easily come in and get 8 to 10 sacks year one.
Yeah. Do you think they finish, I mean, top 24 at the edge position year one?
Probably not. I'm not expecting, like... But I could see, like, a top 40 finish.
Yeah, yeah,
edge position is just very good.
It's very deep.
You know, and there's some elite, elite assets at the top. So it's hard to crack the top 24.
Dynasty-wise, I really like these guys. They all land it in good spots. But I think a good lesson just from rookie drafts in the past in general is don't get out over your skis with year one expectations for these guys. Right? Like, we're looking at the depth chart now, but remember, coaches like veterans. They like to start guys that have been in the system, that know how to be an NFL professional, know how to win at the next level. So it's not going to happen right away for most of these guys. Even a guy like Will Anderson came on really towards the end of the season, right? So if it is Dallas Turner is Will Anderson 2.0, I'm still not probably plugging him into lineups in September.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to wait and see what happens. I'm going to let these guys marinate a little bit.
Yeah, and these guys aren't going to, you know, blow the doors off of the box score or anything, you know, early like that. Like, Will Anderson had a fine year. But I think it was, what, like 7 to 8 sacks?
Yeah,
it wasn't nothing crazy.
You weren't, like, jumping up and down. Same thing with Aiden
Hutchinson. But he's 21 and a half. It's just, that's part of it. Like, these are investments, guys. Yes. You gotta
be patient.
Probably wait 2 to 3 years before you really start seeing the potential and upside.
Yeah, because now you look at, like, Aiden Hutchinson, right? Like, that's the kind of blueprint. Because Aiden wasn't great year one.
Right.
Year two.
Jalen Phillips was there. I mean, we saw it, but he was it as well, right?
Everyone was like, I don't know about, you know, Phillips. I don't know if it's going to work out.
He was averaging 17 and a half points per game until he tore his Achilles.
Yep.
So, I mean, he was a top 10 edge rusher this past year.
I think he would have finished edge one.
I think so as well.
Had he stayed healthy. He was so good.
Yeah.
Bobo, any thoughts here on Chop in Miami?
I love it. I mean.
He went, I love it. That was not the reaction I thought was coming after,
Chop's a scary prospect.
He is. You know, I was just looking at his production at Penn State, and it's just it's kind of like Byron Murphy. You want it to be a little bit more padded. You want to get those stats up a little bit more for us to feel more comfortable. Feel comfortable with Latu. I feel comfortable with Turner. I feel comfortable with Verse. Chop Robinson is the one head scratcher to where the production was strange, but the landing spot is great. So maybe that equalizes out a little bit, you know. Odafe Elway really hasn't had a whole lot of help there in Baltimore. Obviously didn't come out of Penn State with a whole lot of production, hasn't done much. So maybe a guy like Chop can be elevated because of the guys around him. I'm not sure. I need to marinate on Chop a little bit.
PFF has the draft grade as average for this pick. They had him as their 40th player on the big board. So makes me wonder, too. Every team's board is different. This is not to say that the Dolphins had Chop Robinson as the 40th overall player, but that's about where Chop felt like a borderline round two, round one kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is maybe a peek inside the Dolphins decision makers' mindset of, like, we really need to get a premier edge rusher because either we're planning for life after Bradley Chubb or we're not sure either of these guys are going to be ready to start the season.
Yeah.
So he did say he has the dimensions of power and speed in his pass rush arsenal. His potential is undeniable. He earned a 93.9 pass rush grade over the past two seasons, which ranks second among FBS edge defenders behind the Colts' Leatu Latu.
But why no sacks? Come on, Chop.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we know the rule.
Good pressure rate, though. You know, we know all about that stuff. Good pressure rate. Usually pressure rate means sacks are going to come. Pass rush win rate was great. 20.9% pass rush win rate. So that was great. I mean, compare it to, like, Turner. Turner was 20.2 his final year.
What was the RES for Chop? Do we have that?
Yes, Chop was the best athlete of the bunch.
I remember him being a freaky athlete.
9.72 RES. He was 6'2.5", 254, 4'4", 840, 1'5", 3", 10 split.
Boy.
So that was one of the best 10 splits of the bunch. I think that was the best among the edge rushers.
Mm-hmm. The Underdog Football Show was doing the top 64 prospects in this draft, so it was fun to listen to him talk about defense, and Josh Norris said, and I was nodding along, I was like, yes, Josh, you understand. Like he said, to be an elite edge rusher, you have to be, by and large, a freaky athlete. Mm-hmm. And this is when they were talking about Chop Robinson. Like,
yeah.
The production wasn't really there, but he has what you need, the most important thing that you need to be an elite edge rusher, which is freaky athleticism. So we'll see how it turns out with Chop in Miami. But
I mean, look at the literally all the elite edge rushers that we know and love. Nick Bosa, 9.39 RAS. Micah Parsons, 9.62. Aiden Hutchinson, 9.89. Max Crosby, 9.6. TJ Watt, 9.79. Miles Garrett, 9.99. Josh Allen, 9.72. Brian Burns, 9.90. Kayvon, 9.64. Danielle Hunter, 9.91. Jared Verse, 9.6. Dallas Turner, 8.85. George Karloftis, 9.27. Montez Sweat, 9.92. Just going straight down the list.
Yeah. I mean, you could basically...
Dallas Turner, maybe a big old bust.
Sort by...
now that I'm thinking about it.
Sort by RAS, and it's pretty much all the different top edge rushers.
Yeah.
I did find...
Only eight. Yeah. He also did not do a three cone, did not do a shuttle. Yeah, so he got the 40 and got the F out of there.
No time for all that transportation stuff.
I will say the comps from DJ when the picks happened were interesting, that he comped Leatu Latu to Trey Hendrickson, who requested a trade today. Also said he was considering retirement, which I don't feel like helps your trade leverage if you're like, I may actually quit.
Did you see the retire? Did you see the T. Higgins stuff that said they haven't had contract talks in over a year?
In over a year.
What?
That's weird.
How's that true?
The Bengals are weird. They're a mom and pop organization that's traditionally been very stingy with money and not done well on player relationships for that reason. But that seems extreme even by that measure. And then I think it was Jared Verse. It was either Turner or Verse, and I feel like it was Verse. They comped to Brian Burns. That DJ comped to Brian Burns.
I think that was Turner. Actually,
I thought it was right after the Latu pick.
I think it was Turner.
So just fun to see kind of those comps, you know, because I think DJ is one of the top draft guys out there,
and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, Brian Burns isn't the biggest dude, right? But he is like a speed type guy. Mm-hmm. Reminds you of like a little bit of a basketball player. Crosses up these big beefy old linemen.
Mm-hmm. Big old beef boys.
That's what Turner's gonna be doing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So those were the top four edge rushers gone in the first 21 picks. After that, we had a run of cornerbacks and one final edge rusher. So, boys, let's just kind of hit the cornerbacks as a group because I feel like they're all going to get pretty similar opportunity. So the Eagles stay at 22 and go with the first cornerback off the board, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. The Lions trade up to 24. I think they jumped into the Cowboys spot, I believe it was, and selected Terrion Arnold, Alabama. And then we saw the Ravens sit at 30 and take Nate Wiggins, Clemson. So we get three cornerbacks in the first round. Eddie, talking to Sig, he mentioned Terrion Arnold as the player he thought was going to have the most impact in year one. And now landing with the Lions team that was still cornerback needy, even with Brian Branch, even with Carlton Davis, and they trade up to get this guy taking, I think, the spot of the Cowboys, tells me maybe Terrion Arnold is a guy that we should be paying attention to. Quinyon Mitchell, nice landing spot with the Eagles as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think Terrion Arnold may be in contention for cornerback one just because he is such a really good tackler. 4.32 tackles per game. That was the best rate among the corners in the class, I believe. Alabama, also freak athlete, 9.27 RAS, was a four-star recruit.
Eagles going to draft them some Alabama players. You best believe that.
Oh, this is Detroit.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of, yes.
Quinyon Mitchell, I think, is out of Toledo.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, but he's also like another one of these freak athletes.
Brian Branch, Detroit. I mean, right? Detroit did the same thing.
Right, exactly.
There are some teams that just love these blue blood SEC powerhouse programs.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what Detroit's doing. Just those physical tight cornerbacks. I mean, it fits what they want to be as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff there from Detroit. We need to get them an edge rusher. or maybe a defensive tackle.
When they traded back up, I was like, well, I guess this isn't edge because the top four guys are gone.
Yeah, right. So I know kind of they missed out on one of those guys. Maybe they could have gone Johnny Newton there. But, I mean, I think that's really, really good value for Arnold. I think a lot of people were talking about him as being like a top 15 pick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Get him at 24.
That's a great job right there by them.
And then the Eagles.
And it's in the draft's in Detroit. It's a good night there.
Yeah, it was a good night. He takes the microphone from the interviewer there on the stage and is like turning around talking to the audience. So.
Terrence Arnold, he was funny too. Mm-hmm. Did you see the part where he was like, say what's up to Nick Saban?
I didn't see that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I saw Detroit had 275,000 people at the draft tonight.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's kind of nuts to think about.
That is nuts.
Not a place I want to be if I got 274,999 other people around me.
Too many people.
Too many people.
That's going to give me anxiety right now. 275
people is probably too many people. But they did break
2.75 is too many people.
Yes, they did break. That's more than it's in this room, Adam.
I'm very anxious right now.
I know, I could tell. That's right. They did break the record for night one attendance. Nashville still holds the record for overall like draft attendance at 600,000.
There's just a lot of people in downtown Nashville. That's all that is.
Yeah, that's a Saturday night.
They just they latch on to like all the bachelorette parties.
That's just Broadway, baby.
Them
that's
damn pedal bars.
Oh, the pedal carts?
Gosh.
They're the worst.
Y'all love Broadway?
I love seeing the bridesmaids like blacked out in the gutter, just like with their little like sashes and stuff all smudged up and dirty.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
It's a great spot to like, observe human behavior.
Yeah, it's like the Bridal Party USA.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
How do you insure one of those little pedal bars?
You don't.
Yeah.
That's just that's outside the law.
Proof of insurance, license, registration, please.
They're like, nope. And they're like, yep, you're right. See you later. Just keep on keeping on.
Gosh. Come on, girls. I'm going to get away from this car.
It's not a spot I want to be at like almost 37 years old.
Gosh, didn't that bomb blow up down there in that camper a couple years ago?
Yes, on Christmas Day. That's still
on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. Still dealing with the aftermath. It's still not fully repaired. The area where it blew up.
Unsolved mystery.
Yeah. Unsolved mystery? Yeah. Do they not know who did it?
Nope.
That's weird. I don't like it. Unsolved mystery. Why did the Cardinals go with Darius Robinson at 27? The last IDP we're going to touch on here. We mentioned Johnny Newton still out there, good value. Cooper DeJean as well. Marshawn Nealand was getting some first-round buzz, did not creep into the first round. Darius Robinson was a surprise, though, Addy. I was not expecting this guy to go first round, and here he goes at 27 to the Cardinals.
I don't know. I think that he had a chance. I think we talked about there's tons of mocks where he was getting drafted there at the end of the first round. Yeah. Versatile player, can do a lot of different things. You know, he is a bigger – I think they have him listed as edge in all the draft stuff, but
they announced him as a D tackle and then put his little thing as edge. So I think even they were confused on what he was.
He's a bit of like in between, right? He's 285, so that is very large for an edge rusher, but it's also a little on the small size for a defensive tackle. So I think he'll be able to do a lot of things for Arizona, be a nice versatile piece for them. He is a freak athlete. I remember, I think Dane Brugler was saying that this is like one of the first off the bus guys, just super, you know, imposing, powerful looking dude. Let me look at his RAS real
fast. Do you not think though he would have been available 8 picks later at 35 when the Cardinals are picking?
Maybe so.
You know, I don't know. It just 7.77
RAS. He's 6'5", 285, 34.5-inch arms. 84.5-inch wingspan. Good God.
Yeah, he's humongous. But
oh, my God.
Could you not have used, like, maybe a cornerback or a DB there?
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Arizona, I mean, they, like, all the above. They need everything.
Yeah, I was looking to see. Am I forgetting some corners?
Linebacker.
It is Sean Murphy Bunting, Kytrell Clark, Starling Thomas V. I'm not making that up. Devaud D-I-V-A-A-D, Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably would have gone cornerback there.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that's just me.
They could have probably gone, DeJean?
They could have gone with Johnny Newton, if you want, kind of beef up front.
Robinson could be good. I mean, he's got a lot of fans. I mean, I don't want to throw too much shade at him. I do see the upside.
He got better at Missouri, you know? He got progressively a little bit better, played a little bit more.
Going to have the opportunity for sure.
Oh, dude. Maybe more than any of us.
Honestly.
IDP's drafted.
Did anyone
so far
land in a better
round.
Situation than Arizona?
You're like, bro, you've got to get out there. We've got it's, you and we've got...
Zaven Collins is a guy that was a linebacker. Yeah. BJ Ogunbowale. He's your other edge rusher.
LJ Collier. I mean...
LJ yeah. Collier still in the league.
Wherever they want to stick him. I mean, you
yeah,
could...
Yeah, inside,
you could,
outside.
Bilal Nichols, Justin Jones.
Free safety.
Dante Stills. I mean, yeah, that line is terrible. So it's like, I think it probably was a reach. I would not have gone with him there at 27, but God, he's probably going to start because that team is bad. You got Jonathan
sitch.
Gannon, who's a goober, but pretty good defensive coach.
He wants killers. This
he
guy
does.
Might be a killer.
He wants to know who's riding the bus. Darius Robinson's getting off the bus.
Sure,
so
first.
We know he rode the bus because he's first off the bus.
Is he the one that met the player and was talking about, like, fireworks?
Yeah.
What gets you?
Rondell Moore.
Was that who it was?
Yeah, it was Rondell Moore. Explosives. Pew, pew, pew.
You love that probably, like, super
cringe.
Oh,
my God, yeah. I watched it, like,
he watched it
times.
On repeat.
Yeah, I've got it bookmarked.
Yeah, it's
but, yeah, you're
bookmark.
Right. There's
one bookmark on Twitter, and it's that video.
The Darius Robinson... pick was strange for sure, but I mean, Adam's right. Some of those weird late mocks.
There's always some head scratchers.
That's
at
what
the end
this.
Of the first.
That's what this draft was, man. That's what this draft was. Is we knew there was like a couple good edges, and then after that, there was going to be quite the cliff. And I feel like it's going to be about that way from here on out. So here's a good question: aside from the linebackers, maybe Peyton, maybe Cooper, maybe Colson. Potentially, like, Cedric Gray gets some draft capital.
Trevin Wallace.
You got Cooper DeJean. Let's just say maybe Cole Bishop, one or two, you know, Caden.
Get your noob.
Yeah.
Kalen
Bullock. My boy Noobin. All right, so aside from those guys mentioned, and also Johnny Newton, we're probably not drafting any other IDPs.
I'm not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even these guys, like, even the Darius Robinson point is to, like...
Well, what if they get second-round capital, you 100%.
I agree, but I'm just saying, like, even of the guys that we've talked about tonight, like, Chop to Miami, to me, screams, like,
fourth.
401.
Yeah, fourth round.
You know, 406.
Yeah. Cooper DeJean's probably, I mean, does he get bumped down in rookie drafts now? Is he a little bit of a loser?
I mean,
second round capital.
I don't know if it was necessarily much of a loser as much of it was like, I don't know. I think the teams at the end of the first round where maybe we could see him going had a different type of need.
I was salivating thinking about him with the Ravens. That would have been sick just to watch him and Kyle Hamilton patrol the field together.
But I mean, if Cooper Jean goes within the first 10 picks tomorrow, day two,
Bills,
he's fine. He's
Patriots,
right back into he'll, now,
Cardinals. Commanders.
I do think he's a fourth round pick, right? We were talking like he was going to be a third round pick. Mm-hmm. So I think he probably
bumped
is.
Bumped down a little bit.
He's entered into the 401 to 406 range now.
The second round tomorrow is going to tell a lot about who we're going to draft in five rounds of a 1QB.
Especially on the
IDP.
Especially on the IDP side of things.
Who are you drafting in the second round of a 1QB right now, IDP wise?
Probably the running backs.
Dallas Turner.
Oh, IDP wise,
yeah. Sorry.
Dallas Turner. Are you.
It's gonna depend on some of the offense. If we don't see running backs taking high tomorrow, if they're like third and fourth round running backs, then that's gonna push them
down.
There'll
be one or two.
There will be one or two.
Now, who would I take in the second round? Probably just Dallas Turner. Who will go in the second round? Probably on average.
I think Verse. I think people will still
Verse
take.
I think the top three edges, I think, will
I
go
think
in
from
the second round.
I think from 206 to 212, all three of those guys are going to be in play there. Some of the drafts you see, one or two of them will go, but a majority of them, I think all three of them are going to be
gone
there.
But still, no one creeping up really higher than that, right?
Does Dallas Turner get higher than 206 on average in 1QB rookie drafts?
What if he should?
I think he should.
Yeah.
I think he should. But
I don't know that
you have to, right?
I don't know that he's going to get ever into the first round for me.
I don't think so.
I just don't think you have to. In this draft.
If some of these wide receivers don't really pan out, if some of these running backs don't really pan out from a landing spot perspective over the next like two rounds, I could see Dallas Turner maybe being like 203, mm-hmm. 202.
Yep.
You know, because I expect the end of the first to still be like Trey Benson. McConkey,
Jonathan Brooks,
A.D. Mitchell, Jonathan. Well, I think that's high for Brooks. Maybe
a lot of people have Brooks. Lotu's going to be RB1 up there, though, y'all. Lotu's going to be right in there. Like, there's going to it's going to be the same way. People are going to have like their preferences with these edge rushers.
Yeah, a lot of it's a divisional type of thing too. Like, do you watch a bunch of, you know, NFC West ball? You're probably going to be really in tune to Jared Verse. Like, I don't know. I just find that a lot. That like,
well, like, yeah, I think like I think there will be a lot of leagues where you can get Dallas Turner, like 301 in a certain league, right?
Yep.
He'll be the third edge rusher off the board just because of all the stuff we've, and you know, the flags that we've mentioned.
This is assuming true position, right? Because if there's linebacker listings for these guys, it's just that's
I always assume it's normal fixed stuff.
Yeah. Assume that this is correct positional designation.
You think any of these guys get dual on sleeper? You think maybe Dallas Turner gets
that's
dual?
That's so hard to predict.
Turner should.
Yeah, kind of what
Van Ginkel has it.
Yep.
And doesn't Grenard have it now?
Well, yeah, he does.
Who had it last year? Did either of the
– Hunter had it.
Yep.
Wanham had it as well.
Wanham. And who was the other one? Davenport?
Za'Darius Smith had it the year before.
Okay, that's so yeah, right. Probably will.
So then Turner will get it on sleeper. Jared Verse, did Byron Young have it last year?
Yes, he does.
And Lotu will not get it.
I don't think Quiddy or Samson had.
Ebikam did, I think.
Did he?
Ebikam did have it.
Then
last
why
year.
Would Quiddy Pay not have it?
Because they don't know what they're doing.
I know. It's just so random. There's no common sense whatsoever applied to this.
That plays for me. That dual Desi plays.
I was thinking it's kind of.
Sleeper's the shit.
It's kind of weird, though, right? Because, like.
It's annoying. I wish they would just make them all defensive linemen.
Right.
I love the flexibility of sleeper, man. Just make your roster requirements deep, you know? Start 4 to 5 defensive linemen.
That's fun in those picks, though, because, like, all of a sudden you see a guy who, you know, you don't necessarily value as much as somebody else, but you know that Eric Harms is drafting him because he's got dual Desi. You know, in like the third or fourth round or something. I think that's a big thing that you know, gets talked about some in the best balls, but probably not enough.
Yeah.
You know what would be?
It can be a distraction too, though. I think some people look too much into the dual Desi stuff and they let
away from all the.
Yeah, and then you let some of these defensive tackles.
I use it as like a tiebreaker type of thing, right? If I'm between two guys.
I really don't. I honestly don't look at it at all.
I mean, it is a just sort of a. I guess, cheat code is the best way to describe it because you're filling two spots in your lineup instead of one. So that is nice, especially like war of attrition type of stuff. You lose players throughout the season.
But you're right. Don't look at it so much that you're also not looking at the D tackles.
Yep.
The guys who just have defensive line.
Yep.
I was going to say, looking at the teams drafting inside the top 10, because I think Newton and Cooper DeJean both will go in the top 10 of the second round. That just kind of, it feels like they could have been first rounders.
What if they don't though? Let's say they don't.
Well, I'm just thinking, let's look at real quick the top 10 teams inside the second round, assuming no trades, where we would like them to land. I think the Bills are going wide receiver. Patriots, no thank you.
Wide receiver.
Patriots would love Cooper DeJean though, wouldn't they?
They would.
It seems like a. Oh,
but they also have Kyle Duggar, Marte Mapu,
Jabril
Peppers.
We would hate it. It would ruin them.
I would hate it. I don't see it.
Cardinals would be beautiful.
Cardinals would be great for either of those guys. Commanders, I don't think they're going with a defensive tackle with Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen still there. You've got Jeremy Chinn, so I don't know that they're
Chinn's on a one-year deal, though. I mean, it's not enough to like prevent them from going.
Agreed.
So, I mean,
I'm just saying,
he's kind of a need.
He's in play.
Juiciest landing spot, it kind of – two exercises here, like where could we see it, but also where do we want them to go? Chargers next to Derwin. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Titans. I don't know. Nothing about the Titans really excites me.
They got too many corners. I mean,
a bunch of those types.
Yeah, we don't need another.
Panthers could be kind of fun because they lost Von Bell. They lost Jeremy Chinn. So if they're going to have
time would be,
safety, it's J.C. Horn there. I think CJ Henderson is gone. So, again, the Commanders back up at the 8th pick of the second round. Packers are still in play there at the 9th pick, 41 overall, and then Texans at 42, 10th overall.
Fine.
So, but if they don't get top 40 or so capital,
A lot of scary landing spots in
there.
That's
not great. And there are some bad landing spots in there.
Yeah, like Green Bay would I think it would be good, but it would suck for Keyshawn Nixon.
I was going to say.
So that's, we don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Washington. Carolina's good as well. Tennessee's got way too many corners. Arizona would be good. New England, nope.
The Texans kind of need some secondary help. Like, I think that's the one position on their
That'd
roster you could point to and say, you got Derek Stingley, you got Jalen Petre. Let's get who'd they bring back that was a Desmond King.
Desmond King.
But you could really use, I think, a playmaker in the back half of your secondary.
And then Atlanta's after them. They could use DeGene or Newton.
Raiders. Raiders need help on defense.
Saints as well. Well, Saints are pretty good at corner, but they could use somebody in the interior. They put them next to Bryan Bresee.
Mm-hmm.
Colts, there you go, dude. What if you get DeGene and you get – that would be sick.
That would be
Colts
so
need to
filthy.
Be trading up.
Yes,
get
they really
up
do.
Get the top of the second. Get
if,
DeGene.
If you can get up into maybe like the late 30s, I think you've got a shot. But, oh, man.
46. So, I mean, that's just – It could happen.
You could get up to, you know, could you get up to like to one of those Washington picks? Could you get up to 36 or 40 and get Cooper DeGene?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's, you know, we'll see. By the time you are listening to this, it may have already been decided where DeGene's going, but.
We will be potting with Macri Saturday night.
That's right. Best and worst landing spots.
So you can hear us talk about all this stuff that we're speculating on now.
All over again. We probably won't touch on as much first round guys on that episode. It'll be
we
more.
Will. We're talking about a lot of
seconds.
Dallas. It'll be more Dallas Turner about
being
first
an
round.
All out Dallas Turner war. Bobby and I will take the first half of the episode off and come in after you guys are done.
Sure.
But we will be touching on all seven rounds. So best and worst landing spots. Like we said, look forward to having John on. But that is your round one recap. It was a wild draft. Don't think we'll ever see 14 straight picks of offense again.
That was kind of boring.
Don't know that we'll see six quarterbacks go in the top 12 again.
I feel like we had to throw the offensive folks a bone. We have been dominating the drafts the last little bit.
It's a good
right?
call.
It's an IDP world, folks.
Only 9 of 32 picks were defense tonight. That's kind of surprising.
Mm. But we did dominate the second half. They had us
we
in
did.
The first half.
Not going to lie. They did have us.
We did dominate second.
Yeah, all of these picks, 15 was the first defensive guy. So basically the back half, the back 16, we had, I think, either exactly the same number of offensive and defensive picks or one more defensive pick.
We showed out,
yeah,
I think.
So, more.
Don't let this discourage you, folks. Remember, this is a good class. This is a good – there's a lot of really good offensive pieces.
The
it's
offensive
push,
class was very strong.
It's going to push a lot of these offensive guys down the board. That's what we saw tonight. I think there's still really nice assets that you want on your fantasy football teams.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. How many wide receivers went? 8? Pearsall, Leggett.
You had 3 in the top 10, and then you had, so that's 3. You had
Brian Thomas
was 4.
Ricky Pearsall.
5.
Leggett.
6.
I'm missing somebody.
Worthy. 7.
That's it.
Is that it?
7.
Okay, so 7 wide receivers. Yeah, I saw a tweet from Schrager earlier in the week that was like, there are really only 6 locked and loaded, guaranteed, first-round defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
He said this offensive class is just so good, and the defensive class is not as strong by comparison that you could see an offensive-dominated first round. And I think I just saw where Schrager got 29 of his 32 mock draft picks correct for first-round players making it in. I think he had 13 direct hits. And then he called 29 of the 32 first-rounders. So it played out that way, man. It was an offensive-dominated draft, a quarterback-dominated draft. Good news is we will see a lot of defensive players called on Friday and Saturday because we saw no linebackers, no safeties, only 3 cornerbacks, and 1 IDL.
Peyton and Edrian go tomorrow?
I would think so.
In the second, I mean?
No, I think we'll see Junior Colson maybe go first.
Think so?
I think
I have no idea,
Newton,
honestly.
Colson and DeGene, I feel very confident, will go tomorrow.
It's funny, on
tomorrow.
Like DJ's big board, he has Cooper first as
he does.
The linebacker off
he
the
does.
Board.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Everybody's
still been people rising on Trevon Wallace, too, lately, I've been seeing. So
does he get second or third round capital?
We shall see.
We'll be talking about it on Saturday.
Best time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed over at theidpshow.com. The IDP Show draft kit drops on May 1st. All of Mike Wohlert's projections will be out. The rookie rankings will be updated. We'll have write-ups in there. All of our ranking sets will be updated. I know Addy's already working in the Dynasty ranks, so make sure you're checking us out over there. This is our time of year. You want to be in lockstep with us if you want to dominate your IDP drafts. I think we still got some best ball drafts that are going to be getting underway here soon. You probably will have some openings here soon if you don't already.
We got rookies about to be added.
That's right.
It's about to be fun, ladies and gents. It's about to
be popping off. So
come holler at us. Yeah, I mean, best in the game. No one's touching us.
Come hop in the drafts. We'll be back with Macri on Saturday. But until then, y'all take care and enjoy the draft. Everything happens.